As I said last evening, a joy indeed to be with you. I don't know how you feel about what you've just heard, but my soul was blessed, and as I was lost in thought and enjoying the theme and the presence of the Lord and its presentation, I enjoyed it till I stopped to realize I was next man up. That spoils it all. But thank you, Brother Charlie, for giving us such Christ-motivated thoughts. This morning and through the remaining sessions that are my responsibility, I'd like to ask you to look with me at the book of Ruth. Now, I know you all know so very much of this precious, precious book of but four chapters. But it's my prayer that somehow in the goodness of God, He would touch both your heart and mine in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read of two great women after whom books are named in the Old Testament scriptures. There was Esther, a Jewish maiden who married a Gentile king, Ahasuerus. They were brought together in the plan and purposes of God for the salvation of His beloved people. And then we're going to read about Ruth, not a Jew, but a Gentile, brought into a love relationship with a man by the name of Boaz. And she found herself ultimately in the royal line of our Messiah King. For what purpose? She was going to be part of the lineage of our beloved Lord, who would ultimately die on a cross to save a nation? No, to save all of mankind. And beloved, we're part of that great redemptive plan this morning. In our present day, when lust is called love, it's so refreshing to read these 85 verses within this precious book telling of the deep love of a wealthy man for an unknown from the land of Moab. An attractive young woman, a widow, who had been raised in an idolatrous land. And we'll see in our study, I trust, how there are parallels between her experience and ours. Let me capitalize this captivating story. You know it, but time will be spent, I believe, profitably. We'll see a romance that began in a field. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said simply, the field is the world. And beloved, in this world, there was a romance begun between the Christ of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us and ourselves. And He drew us by the cords of divine and holy love to Himself, that in turn we might love and follow Him. Yes, we'll see the romance as it unfolds and the encouragement that's given it by a still grieving mother-in-law by the name of Naomi. The interest increases with the introduction of an unexpected suitor by the name of Boaz. And this young woman from Moab is, I believe, swept off her feet by the interest that this wealthy, concerned man had in her. What a beautiful picture. As you and I pause on our journey through life and realize that we have been loved by none other than the Christ of God Himself, who died for us on a Roman tree. But then we'll share the excitement of Naomi and her friends, as they stand together and hear Boaz announce to the assembled company at the gate of the city, Ruth the Moabitess have I purchased to be my wife. I love those words. I think they're the most dramatic in the entire book. You may disagree, but I love them. I've purchased her to be my wife and to raise up the name of the dead. What a story. Let's enjoy it together as we read together chapter 1. I'd like to suggest that in verses 1 to 5, we'll see the remorse that results from events that took place in Moab. We'll see the return of Naomi to the land of Judah in 6 and 7. We'll hear the resolve of Ruth in verse 7. And then we'll see her renamed by herself in 19 to 22. Think about her remorse as we read verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her two daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of the Moabites. She said she had heard that in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as he hath dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Return again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do also to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. when she saw that she had steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. They said, "Is this Naomi?" She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and all the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Say no. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's just ask the Lord to continue to bless, shall we? Father, in the precious name of thy beloved Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, please continue to presence thyself with us this morning. May we hear thy voice. For our blessing and thy glory we pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Remorse, verses 1 to 5. In this precious story, there are many elements which can be readily identified. And elements that we have seen in our lives and those of our friends. There's economic hardship. Know anything about that? About sorrow and death? Our brother Charlie has already brought these to our attention. And there's readjustment that must take place. There's a love in its deepest form. This is a story that begins in Bethlehem, some 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread, the land of wheat, barley, almonds, and grapes. Ironically, Bethlehem, with all it had to provide, and known as the house of bread, failed to satisfy the man named Elimelech, and it impacted upon his wife and his 2 sons. It's interesting. This man's name simply means, "God is my king." Tragically enough, his actions belie the meaning of his name. This was the man who failed to trust and rely in the God of whom his name suggested was his king. Wife and mother Naomi, her name means pleasant or lovely. Isn't that a great name for a woman of God? Pleasant, lovely. Blessed is the man indeed who has that kind of a wife. She's richly and abundantly blessed. But Elimelech and Naomi had 2 sons. Mahlon, his name meant sickness. And Chilion, his name meant pining or wasting. What a combination of kids. How sad. Sickness and wasting away. Yes, I'm sure this was a family that could identify with the message our dear brother has just given us. They felt the need and the sense of God, I'm confident. But tragically, the head of the family made a grave mistake, and he left the land of God for the land of idolatry. Elimelech. Off he went, and he took with him the family that God in his goodness had given him. He should have remained in Bethlehem in spite of the trials, in spite of the difficulties, and awaited on his God to meet his every need as he had promised. I wonder if you'd ever heard the words of the psalmist when in 37 and verse 19 he said, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil or the difficult times, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." Elimelech, that's your God speaking. He says, in the days of famine, you won't be dissatisfied. He'll provide for you. He'll bless you. In that same 37th Psalm, such a precious psalm. I heard of a doctor who was called one night by a distraught Christian patient. And he said, "Take two Psalm 37s and call me in the morning." Beloved, go to Psalm 37. It'll bless your soul. For there in the 25th verse, we read these comforting and strengthening words. "I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Elimelech, that's your God. Go to him. He'll meet your need. He'll provide for you. But don't leave him. Tragically, he did. Many of us have had two mutual friends in the persons of Joe Reese and T. Ernest Wilson. It was my joy and pleasure and honor to be with Brother Wilson at one of these conferences years ago. The two were sitting in Brother Wilson's home as Joe related the story to me. And they had been talking about the goodness of God in the service of God. T. Ernest Wilson told Joe the story again that I'm sure you've heard him tell. How boarding the ship for Portugal and Africa, a dear brother came to him at the edge of the gangway, put something in his hand, and he said, "Brother Ernest, when you really need these, you can use them, but not until." Ernest Wilson opened his hand, and there rested two golden sovereigns. They continued their talk on the goodness of God. As Ernest Wilson left the room, he came back to Joe and he said, "Joe, there are the two golden sovereigns." A lifetime given to God, and God had provided. Oh, beloved, take courage this morning. Regardless of the situation, your God can meet your every need and rest there. But sadly, Elimelech stepped outside the will of God. And he went to the place called Moab, a place that God's people were forbidden to enter. But he stepped outside the plan of God. And beloved, it happens every time the man of God or the woman of God disobeys God and steps outside his plan. Oh, the necessity of each one of us, regardless of age, you precious, beloved young people, stay in touch with God. Know God's will and plan for your life and follow Him faithfully. And you know what? He'll bless you and keep you for His glory. Well, sadly, when Elimelech moved outside the plan of God, what did he do? He took his family with him. He took his family with him. And there are many that we have seen in life, and I'm sure there are those in this company that would say the same. We've seen them step outside God's plan. They took their family with them. And the family that God had charged them to raise for His glory, they led in the paths of sin. Not only did they have lives wasted as the principals departing from God's purpose, but they took their children with them. I know of nothing more tragic than seeing that happen, that a man that has known God takes his children away from God. Beloved, God still requires a separated people. And we're living in a day and in an age where it's difficult to be so. But dear young man, dear young woman, dear older one, if you're going to be used for God, you must live a life separate from this world and in touch with the once crucified Christ. The words of the great apostle in 2 Corinthians 6:17 are still true. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And that takes a determination of the will to come out from the wickedness of a world and live for Him. There are times that you and I will feel and realize the necessity of this, I am sure. When Elimelech moved from God's provision and took his family, sad events were to follow. Eventually, the little family of four was reduced to one. And there were three graves outside the town that now were occupied. Beloved, God's lessons are hard at times. Oh, to stay close to Him and to enjoy His presence and the luxury of fellowship with Him. But as they have entered Moab, life goes on. The wedding bells ring, and the natural things of life take place. But then tragically, as I have mentioned, death enters. And in just over 10 years, three trips are taken by a widow and a mother to the cemetery. Dear Naomi, she lost a husband. She lost two sons. And she lost her identity. Verse 6, is it? She's, verse 5 rather, the woman. The woman. What a price to pay for departure from God. And so, here is Naomi, two dear daughters-in-law, but God speaking to her one day, and she learns that back in the land she'd left, God had been faithful, and God was providing, and there was sustenance there, and she purposes to go back home. And in verses 6 and 7, we have her return. Naomi has reached the decision. She would return to Bethlehem. She'd retrace those 40 miles and go back to where she'd come from. Go back to her God, more importantly. She has exchanged God's presence and blessing for death, disappointment, and despair. What a tragedy. She had lost on all counts because of the head of the family making an unwise decision. Dear brother, the responsibilities of husband and father at times scare me. The responsibility that is ours to raise our families for God and to give godly leadership to our wives. And it's still there. And it will be there until we draw our last. But as far as the faithful God is concerned, He entreats Naomi to go back. The price has been paid and it's too great. Back she goes. There are many a child of God, young in years and older as well, and they've made the tragic decision to move out from under the care of God. I often used to misquote this verse, that the apostle said so tragically in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. I used to quote it this way: Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. But that's wrong. The word evil isn't in there. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You got a love for the world, dear child of God, today? Oh, I plead with you. Shun it like the plague and get back in fellowship with God. Give Him your all and enjoy His presence and His power as only a child of God in fellowship with Him can. If you're away from God, I plead with you to re-begin the best life. And remember the old song, the words of which said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. There is no day like today to get back in fellowship with God. I love the words of Ravi Zacharias when he said, better to live for God than to have wished you had. Think about it. Better to have lived for God than to have wished you had. How tragic. Well, there's a resolve in 8 to 18. Naomi has learned of God's blessing and His provision for Israel. And back she goes. Decides to return. And the next scene that grips our gaze is a tearful trio on the borderland between Moab and Judah. Brokenhearted Orpah and Ruth are being put to the test. And midst tears, Naomi encourages them, go back to your family, go back to your culture, go back to your gods. I've often wondered why she was so pressing. I would suggest that she was putting them to the test. If you're going to come to God and to God's land, realize there's a price to be paid. And amidst the tears, she encourages them. Possibly she wanted them to fully count the cost of going out for God. Dear child of God, if you haven't learned it yet, you most assuredly will. There's a cost in standing for God. There's a cost in yielding to Him and for Him. But it's well worth the price. What's the cost? The world says, you go for God, and all popularity as far as the world is concerned, it's gone. It's appeal. It's a reproach of Christ. It's going to cost you dearly, this matter of holy living. Yes, but who cares? To live for Him. Better to have lived for Him than to have wished you had. Then there may be the cost of a martyr's death. Dear brother Charlie told us of a modern day martyr. He gave his all for God. You and I might not be called upon to pay such a price. It might be the contempt, the sneer, the scorn of a Christ-hating world. But there will be a price. If you're going to pay, if you're going to live for God. But then, what are the alternatives? An idol-filled land, all destined for the flames, and to be the loser of even material blessings at the last, and the joy of Christ in life, to be saved as if through the flames. Oh, beloved, let's this morning count the cost on the borderland. Say, Lord, I'm giving what I have, little though it might be, I give it to you. And by your divine help and purpose, I want to live for you. And dear young man, dear young woman, as lovingly as I can tell you, be assured of this. God alone knows what will happen in your life if you're prepared to stand beside Ruth and say, Ruth, I'm with you. Orpah, she went back into the land and into obscurity. And think of it, you and I, this morning, in the year 2003, just read the book that's entitled, simply, Ruth. Later on, we'll look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whose name's there? That's right, it's Ruth. What God will do with you, He alone knows, but He wants to do it for your blessing and His glory. Orpah, an interesting name, means double-minded, couldn't make up her mind. It meant stubborn. She was stiff-necked. And you can't be stiff-necked if you're prepared to humble yourself before God. And in the dust, say, Lord, just take me. In all of my unworthiness, and use me for your glory. That was Ruth. I want to be where God's plan is for Naomi and for me. So many people are stubborn and refuse to leave the domain of Satan for the freedom and the liberty and the life in Christ. A life that can be yours to the full. One of my favorite verses in this precious canon is this. The words of the Lord Jesus. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Let me draw from another rendering. I think it's the Amplified. I'm not certain. I am come that they might have life. And get this. And that they might have a super abundant life. Beloved, for almost 59 years, I've enjoyed that life. And I thank my God from the depths of my being for it. That's the kind of a life that every believer should have and may have to enjoy for his God and in his God. But Ruth has made a decision. Ruth, this one whose name means satisfied, clearly states, as we shall see, her purpose. Had Ruth's heart been won to Jehovah by her late husband? I don't know. I wonder if ever he talked about God. The God of Bethlehem, Judah, we'll never know. Maybe it was the godly influence of Naomi. That could well have been it. But her decision has been made. Naomi, where you go, that's where I'm going. Where you live, that will be my residence. Where you die, you can count on me, and I'll be buried beside you. What full, complete identification with a godly woman, may I add, with her God. This was Ruth. She says, entreat me not to leave thee. Ruth had only eyes for Naomi, who could lead her to the place of satisfaction. May I suggest, young brother, young sister, get your eyes on your God and follow the Lord Jesus. But as well, get your eyes on the person who's living for God today and just fasten yourself to them like bark on a tree. Learn from them. Pray with them. Enjoy their fellowship. God will help you as you go for Him. And so, entreat me not to leave thee, says Ruth. And then she says, or to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. She was anxious to follow her to God's land and to enjoy God. Following Naomi would lead to where? It would lead her to redemption. She would be redeemed ultimately by a man she was yet to meet. Oh, dear child of God, our God wants us to know the joys of redemption. Man, you and I have been redeemed and redeemed for eternity. Let's go in for enjoying it to the full. A brother said to me some years ago, Arnott, I'm convinced that 75% of God's people aren't enjoying their salvation. Was he right or wrong? I leave it to you to judge. But I believe with all my heart that many of us aren't enjoying Him as we could and should. So following Naomi, she goes into this land wherein she would know God's blessing in a full and a wonderful way. Where is she going to live? She's going to live with a people of God. Your people, they're going to be my people. Oh, the luxury. The luxury of dwelling with the people of God. I've often heard dear J.B.'s father say, there were times in the military, and we could bear testimony to them. You'd be glad to see a Christian's dog. Oh, the joy of it, just to be with fellow believers. I remember those days in an Air Force barracks, and there were four of us, and we were occupied two corner bunks. It was empty that Saturday night. One began to sing, and none of us were singers. These words, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I just trusted Christ a short time before, and it seemed to me that night I saw the royal seal of heaven being lifted, dipped in the blood of Christ, and then affixed to a pardon that bore my name. Oh, thank God for redemption. Let's enjoy it. Where you live, that's where I'm going to live. Your people, they'll be my people. Better still, your God's going to be my God. But then, hurriedly, Naomi comes back with a heavy heart and weary step. Did you hear the people exclaim, "Is this Naomi? Is this bright, happy woman that left us a few years ago?" Oh, she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. God has dealt bitterly with me." As we were hearing earlier this morning, that's the way God can do. But the beautiful thing is, God isn't finished with Naomi yet. He isn't finished with Ruth. Wait till we get to the last chapter. Just hang in there and see what happens as God blesses these two dear ones. She was renamed. The pleasant one that had left Bethlehem had returned bitter. But God was going to deal with her and bless her. What does this book say? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. It simply says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." I enjoyed a rendering on that word the other day, chasteneth. Those that the Lord loves, he keeps in his school. You never enjoyed being kept in school after hours, did you? But oh, when he keeps us in and works on us in his refining process of 1 Peter just a little more, then we become more like him and his beloved son. Naomi confessed in verse 20, "The Almighty, he's dealt hardly with me." But she was permitted. She was prepared to submit to the sovereignty of God. And God was going to change her. And so, she enjoyed, or would enjoy, the blessings of her Redeemer in a coming day. Sin, the results of bitterness, would be wiped away in the joy of a new and precious relationship that she would see Ruth enjoy and she would be blessed by as well. Oh, how wonderful. Beloved, this morning, might you and I, in the goodness of God, say, "Lord, please take me. I just want to be a Ruth. And I just want to be submissive to your plan, your purposes, in your location, for your glory." Father God, please bless thy holy word. Please bless every dear blood-bought saint in the company. May hearts be warmed and refreshed. In love to Christ, we pray. In our Savior's precious name.